Such a wonderful reading, isn't it? John 1 reading, and thank you, Mike, for reading it. Well, my name's John Langlois. I'm the rector here at St. George's. I'm also chaplain for the Midlands, which is why I'm not here every Sunday, but it's great to be here at Christmas. I've got Meredith going up the Midlands. What is it about Christmas that brings people together to worship? Does it make any difference that God in Jesus Christ came to earth? My reflections on Jesus coming to earth made me think of something quite different in a sense. Made me think of Andrew Legg, who's the director of the Southern Gospel Choir and now head of the conservatorium here in Hobart. He was talking about his visits to the black gospel music conventions in America, where he was usually the only white guy in the whole convention. And he'd be invited by someone like Kirk Franklin to come up and play and sing. And he would hear people saying things like, "What's this white boy doing here? What do you think you're doing, boy?" And then he would begin to play and the questions would turn to praise. For them, he became one of us. Not only because he could play the piano and sing, but when he did, he sounded like one of them. Andrew would be the whitest black gospel performer that I have ever met. And it takes a fair bit of courage to be the only guy on stage when you're the only white guy and there's thousands and thousands of black. It's hard to be different sometimes. I don't know if any of you saw the program on the singing diplomat, Fred Smith. Such an unusual name. You wonder if you could forget it. He was on, I think, Australian Story, or one of those programs, being both a musician and a career diplomat, provided for him a unique way of communicating with those who were the locals in any area where he was sent. His appointment to Afghanistan meant he was also working with the Aussie Diggers. And this is what one of them, a Colonel Jason Blaine, said about Fred. "I think a real strength of Fred's music and the way he writes his songs is that he actually experienced a lot of what he's writing about. He actually walked in the same footsteps of those soldiers he's writing about. You know, he ate, he slept, he bathed, he worked, he lived with them. And when the soldiers died, he mourned with them. His music speaks to them because he actually walked in the same footsteps as those soldiers." It seems to me, again, that it takes a fair bit of courage to walk with those who get shot or blown up, who suffer loss, injury, pain, and trauma. 40 of them have died, 256 have been wounded, and I don't know what the mental health stats are. It's no trivial decision to go there as a soldier or as a diplomat. But if you do go, if you walk and weep with them, then you have a right to be heard by them. We once had one of our young youth with the missionaries, missionaries, die in Bombay. And we sent a team over to help with the situation. When they were met at the airport, they were greeted with these words: "You heard, you came, it's enough." This festival season of Christmas, when we're rejoicing and coming together to share a meal, to talk happy talk, to give gifts to those we love, mostly, even to those we tolerate, it can be spoiled by listening to the news. South Sudan, now in civil war. Syrian refugees dying in the wintry conditions in Jordan and Lebanon. Reports of investigations into boat people deaths in their hundreds because Australian authorities spent 12 hours while the refugees were in the water drowning trying to get Indonesian authorities to take over the rescue when everyone knew they would not and could not. Now, I'm not talking about a one-off here. It happened so repeatedly, according to the ABC Rear Vision program. Closer to home, there's the usual stuff of life and death. Yesterday morning, I was in the Whittle ward as a beloved matriarch of a family succumbed to cancer. There are too many who, for the first time, will not have loved ones with them this Christmas. It makes you realise we need a saviour. Because it seems no matter how smart we become, we still need saving from ourselves. Remember, Bin Laden had a PhD. Some of the terrorists who flew into the Twin Towers were medical doctors. We well know that qualifications and status do not preclude stupidity and greed. Just look at the global financial crisis. But we don't need someone to preach to us from a great height. We've all had the experience of some superior saying in a condescending way, "If I were you," to which we reply, "You're not me, you don't know my pain." Hence the effectiveness of Fred Smith's work. He actually walked in the same footsteps of these soldiers he's writing about. And that's why the celebration of Christmas is so important. It's because God, our Father, who created us, did not settle for giving advice from on high. Yes, he did send his messengers, human and angelic, but he knew that that would never be enough. He put aside his greatness, his unimaginable power, his high and holy estate, and he came down here to save us. God, in his purity and holiness, came to earth, came to this sin-sick world, came and risked getting dirty and unclean. He actually walked the same footsteps as the rest of humanity. He ate, he slept, he bathed, he worked, he lived with us. And when his friends died, he wept with them. As Paul said in his letter to his friends in Philippi, Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, and being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He lived the life we should live and don't, and he died a death he didn't deserve, but we do. But it didn't stop there. He rose again from the dead. The first of many, the Bible tells us, Jesus is the great gift of eternal life. Because this child came, we are no longer intimidated by death and suffering. We can see through death to a new life, a life no longer limited to 70 years, more or less, but a life that goes on for eternity. A life that is free of guilt and full of love. Paul, in his letter to Titus, described the Nativity this way: when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared. The kindness and love of God, that is what Christmas is all about. The kindness and love of God. The gift of new life now, the victory over death, and the amazing freedom of intimacy, of being able to call the God of all creation, Abba, Father, as Jesus himself did. Father, we thank you that you came to us in Christ Jesus as an expression of your kindness and love for us. We thank you for the humanity of Christ. We thank you for the gift he is to us from the heart of love himself. Amen.